Welcome back to another episode of Invercast. Due to the current restrictions, we're back recording remotely. It's here with myself, Mark.
Myself, Caelan.
Our guest today is Dean Jarvis. Caelan, should be a good episode with Dean.
Aye, hopefully. It's good to record another one. Hopefully it'll be even better on the pod for the listeners.
Yeah, he's a very storied career with a lot of experience, League of Ireland, Aberdeen, so should be a great listen for you and hope you enjoy.
So, Dean, welcome to the podcast. How are you, mate?
What's correct, lads? Good to be here.
Good. I suppose we're now back in a second lockdown, per se. How you find it?
It's not been the best, to be honest. After us starting the league so well and getting happy with this another 2 week break, like, but we just have to kind of take a positive from this 2 weeks now, like, and try and do a bit of work ourselves away from the ground, away from the team, and just try and keep the fitness up, like. So
does it feel like March again a bit? Does it feel like, I know it's not exactly going to be the same, but just another stop in the road?
No, hopefully it's not as bad as that one. The first one was, because last of 6-7 weeks or whatever it was, we know this one's only, hopefully anyway, a two-week break, like, and but the first one was, that was terrible, like, trying to keep your head right and all, and trying to stay fat, like, it's so much time to yourself, and but this one's only 2 weeks, so hopefully we'll be back in shortly and we can get back to business with the league.
Yeah, like you said, I suppose this one isn't as bad, because I come in, we're taking us back the first one. There's so much lack of certainty that we didn't really know when the league was coming back. I suppose now you have something to aim for and look forward to getting back and playing football.
That's it, like, because the first one, it was after us doing so well and going on that big run, we didn't really want it to stop. We thought we could have finished higher than what we did, sixth at the end up. But we know the 2 week break, it's not too bad. Like, and we just we're busting all to get back in and see how far we can go this year. Like. Yeah.
And before we're going to talk more later about the season, but I think we'll talk about you and where you started from. So, when you were a young career, can you talk to us about the start of your career and how you almost got started in football?
I didn't really start playing football, like, on an actual team until late on. I was probably 13, maybe. By then, usually you're well on a team, and, you know, maybe from 7, 8, all my friends were on a team growing up, like. But I didn't really fancy it that much, to be honest. I used to play it in the street and just be mess about, like. But then, in my area, then the Brandywell, there was a wee team that started, and it was one of my friends' dad started it up. So we went down, and it was a team called Ballymore. And so I started playing with them for a couple of years. And then we started playing the Foyle Cup and that, when I joined Derry. And that's how I kind of started doing well. And I got a bit of interest then from teams across the water. And they were looking maybe, you know, come on trial. And I started to think maybe I could do this full time, you know, because obviously there were people telling me I'm good enough to do it. So that's how I kind of started.
Yeah, you sort of fell into it. It wasn't as if it was always like the thing, you just sort of moved along and it progressed kind of naturally.
I was just, when I was younger, I was real mad just to stay fit and active. I was doing all our different sports as well. I used to be an amateur boxer, and I was going from, like, coming on from school, and then I would have, say, just play indoor football in the youth club, and then straight after that, half an hour later, I'd be going to boxing for an hour. Straight after that, I'd be going to indoor football training at Ballymore. So it was just getting out of the house and staying fit at the start. But then it's when it started to become, you know, around the time you start making decisions, like 14, 15, how to pick what I wanted to kind of do. Did I want to stay at the boxing, or did I want to obviously progress in football, because I was getting a lot more interest across the water and that. So I kind of had to just make the decision then and knock the box in the head and went them trials there.
Yeah, and then of course your career progressed, like you said, for Ballymore, Derry, and then across the world. How did the move about come about for Aberdeen, and how did you feel, like, you know, yourself going over as very young?
We played in the Victor Shield there with the Northern Ireland under 15s, and one of the Aberdeen scouts were at the match. I think we played England or something, and obviously done well. And I said, right, I'll go over there, because the other teams I kind of went to first, it was like no bigger teams in the Premier League. Like, I was over at Liverpool and that, and I didn't really get down the feeling that they were interested. Like, there were so many good players there, and so obviously Aberdeen was down a level. Like, and I went over, and wasn't they trying to get me in? And I actually went to play. As soon as I got over, I went to play this match. I thought it was obviously a youth team match or whatever, so I went down, played this game, and I was doing brilliant. I was playing left back. I felt like it was like men against boys. I was taking the piss. Like, I was like, Jesus, if I play like this here, I'm going to be on the first team in no time here. So I was playing away, and I took off in after 60 minutes and all, and they're all praising me, whatever, well done. And I was walking back up, and I seen a busload of about 18 or 19 people jumping out of the bus, and I'm like, who's this? And the coach says, this is the under 19 team. I was like, who was I playing with here? And he was like, I was under 14s. So I had to go up and train with him then, and train for a couple of days with him, but obviously done well, and they offered me a contract. Like, so I was happy enough, and they signed maybe a week or two later.
Yeah. So, I want to ask you, so for your development, you like you said, Ballymore, and your football with Derry, did you notice any difference in, you know, playing your football across the water compared to what it was like back here?
It was obviously a bit more professional. Like, see, at Aberdeen, the standard wasn't unbelievable, like, compared to some of the academies down in England, like, compared to, like, say, the Liverpool one. Aberdeen was kind of felt more like back home. Like, the players weren't, yeah, they were good players, don't get me wrong, like, but they weren't unbelievable players, like, but it was just more professional around the club, and because we were in as obviously a scholar, so we were in the club every day and just trying to get used to that, the training every day, because that's obviously the difference, like, compared to back home, we'd maybe just training two nights a week or one night a week and playing a match at the weekend. You're on there every day, and they're doing the jobs on there, and so I would say it was far more professional.
How was the living aspect for you settling? There was other local players with Josh McGuinness. He was there at the same time.
Big Josh, he came. I was still on the youth team at this stage, but he came as a first team player. Like, so, but I played with him, and I think I might have been under 21 game, one or two games under 21s. But at the start going over, like, you're only, but it was just turned 16. It was a bit daunting, to be fair. Like, you're just going through and the digs. Like, we two other boys in the team, but the boys are A1, and obviously made good friends. Even to this day, we still chat to a lot of them. But it was good, obviously, for personal development. Like, going over, living away from home, and just like being in charge of, like, your money and food and whatever. And, so I enjoyed it, and it put me in good stead now for, obviously, when I came back.
Yeah, like you said, you learned, like, other stuff aside from football, but I'm sure the stuff you learned, the different skills and tools over there, has helped you progress your career back over here in Irish Prem and the League of Ireland.
Obviously, when I was over there, every second, third week, the first team would call up two or three players, and when you're stepping up from 17 up in the first team, you can tell the difference, and trying to pick up tips and learn from the pros there that have been there and done it. And obviously I've took that away from there, and try to implement them in my game back home. And the left back at Aberdeen was at that time was Charlie McGree, and he used to clean his boots. Mm-hmm. And he was unbelievable, like, left foot, and have a chat away to him and ask them, you know, tips and stuff. And he sometimes they become the R19s game, and he would try and tell you what you did right and wrong and stuff like that. So obviously, I try to implement it now. And if when I'm chatting to any of the younger players, I try and do the same, like, because it helped me a lot.
And were you still over playing Northern Ireland underage football when you were at Aberdeen, or was that until you came home? Or
no, it was so I played up through the age of 16s or 17s and 19s and 21s while it was all over. And there was a few players plays in the Northern Ireland team now at the minute, like we like Mitch and that, he was on my team. And it was up until the might have been the Mull Cup was the before the 21s I played in that air with Josh, and there was a few players, but I never obviously got further in the 21s. Made two appearances for them, and then by the time I came home then, obviously you don't really get, when you get released or whatever and you come back home, you don't really get much of a sniff for the international setup. So it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah. Did you, when playing the international football, yeah, would you have felt that that was a bit of, did you prefer playing like internationally for young, or would you have rather like stayed in Aberdeen and rather played like the domestic game there?
No, it was good. It was good to get away. Like when you're going away on the trips away to the under 17s and 19s European trips, the tournaments or whatever. And I used to buzz off it, like going to all these brilliant countries and playing on this. All the pitches were unbelievable. You're playing in against top players, like. And yeah. I still like this day. Like I would have programs and stuff from the matches, and I would have a look over to see if anybody's kind of playing. You know, from back in them. Played against them back in the days. And there's some decent players, you know, obviously playing now, and you'd be like, that's mad, like thinking back, like, and you played against them when you're only a kid, like 17 and that.
And I was reading there, I think Ter Stegen from Barcelona, I think you played against him.
That's what I mean. See the many, you don't, I didn't even check that one, like, but there's so many names that pop up, like, and there was one we were playing the 19s game against Germany, and I went on, checked in the right winger who he signed for, and he signed for like 35 million for Bayern Leverkusen there a couple of years ago, and I'm like, it's mental.
Who would you have, of the ones you know, who would you have said is like the most high profile that was like still playing today?
That game where the centre back that scored and knocked us out of the tournament was Mustafi, plays for Arsenal.
Really?
He was playing that day, and I remember that because I give away the free kick and he scored from it.
That's your claim to fame. So, I suppose we'll move then over. You moved then by the Irish Prem. Was it always in the back of your mind you wanted to come back home and play football here in Northern Ireland?
No, it wasn't, because see, obviously before I left Aberdeen, obviously I made my debut and I thought maybe I was going to get kept on, so it was never in my mind to come back and play in Irish Prem or whatever again, like. And but obviously when I got released, there was, which I thought I was disappointing at the time, because on my second year I made my debut under Mark McGee and that, and there was three different managers each, you know, for my whole time there, like, there was a new manager each year. And then by the, when Mark McGee got the sack and I was on playing, I was on training the first team every day, and obviously made my debut and was on the bench a lot, I thought happy days. And literally a couple of weeks later he gets the sack and new manager comes in and he's just having none of me, like. So it's mad how it could change that quickly. But as soon as I finished the contract, it was like, right, I'm going to come home and try and get on my Derry maybe. And I went to Derry, and Stephen Kenny was the manager at the time, and went down to meet him, but they weren't really interested in signing me at that time, because the left back was Danny Lafferty, was on playing ahead of me, or playing at the time, like, and he was flying, and there was teams in England looking to sign him. So Kenny just told me straight, like, he doesn't see me getting on the team or whatever, blah, 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 and, but I could still come in and train or whatever and try and play games on 18s. And I was like, I want to kind of play first team football. So Institute got in contact with me with Paul Key. He used to be the under 17 manager at Northern Ireland. And I went on there, done a bit of training, and ended up signing for a year. So that's how that kind of happened.
Yeah, so you were kind of back in your own area. Had you ever been involved with Institute or Derry City at all when you were younger? No, just the...
No, it was just the youth teams. It was just the youth teams, like playing the Foyle Cup and that. But this was obviously, I was coming back and I wanted to play men's football. Like, so it was a good opportunity to play for Stuart because I knew the manager and I knew a lot of the players that were playing at the time. And I just wanted to play football at that stage, like, try and get games under my belt.
Yeah, and having played there, French, we had very good seasons there. Did it take you long to settle into, like, men's football, first team football, or was it just something you took well?
I was grand, to be honest. Obviously, over training with the Aberdeen first team and been involved, put me in good stead or whatever. And when I came back, to be fair, the intensity, I could feel the intensity and the whatever dropped, like the standard a wee bit dropped. And so I wasn't overwhelmed with playing for Stuart or nothing, even though I was just turned 18 or around that age, maybe 18, 19. But I got on well with the manager, and the training two nights a week kind of suited me again. Like, I went and got a job with one of the players played against us at the time. I was out doing he's a bread man. I was out doing a bit of work with him. We were coming in training, we'd go to the gym and together. And I just kind of hit the ground flying then after maybe one or two games and started doing well. And there was a couple of teams then looking at me during that January transfer window, like, and Paul Key, the manager at the time, I was doing him a favour and he was doing me a favour, you know, coming in, and he wanted to get me a move at the end of the year, like, because he had plenty of contacts in England. So there was always talk of me going back in January. So I was happy enough they signed the rest of that year. And then when January came, I went over to, I think it was York I went to, and they were looking to sign me, but the move fell through then. The clubs couldn't really agree a wee compensation package, like, so I had to just sit out the rest of the year and try and get as many matches on as I could, like.
Yeah, it's Davy McDade. He's been at York, I think, and obviously you were eventually with him at Derry City too.
Davy was over at that time, I think. He just signed for York. So I was over when I was over there, and I stayed with him, and we played a practice match together. We were away to Blackburn, I think we played, and they didn't have a match or something that weekend, and they had 12 first team players, like, involved with it. It was a reserve match, like, against the York's kind of reserves, and they battered us. I think they beat us about 7-0. And I remember that game. I started the game, I got hit by a tackle, but one of the players stood in me fingers and broke me two fingers, and I had to try to play on the rest of the game with two fingers, and it was an absolute agony. Like,
I'm sure. And then was your trial at York, and then
I went over there to see what the facilities and all were like, and they wanted to obviously see what I was like, but obviously in the end up it just didn't work out for whatever reason, like. But I came away with two fingers bent out of shape, and they didn't heal for a brave 3 months anyway, like.
Yeah, not everyone can say.
No, it wasn't a good experience, to be fair.
Not everyone can say they came back with two broken fingers after having been over in England. But so you came back, and then eventually you moved to Derry City. Came about again.
So Derry, obviously, at the end of that year, were interested in signing me. they had, I think Danny got his move to England or whatever, and they were looking at left back. And so they came and watched a few games, and I was buzzing, obviously, to try and get back on the full time football in at that stage. And I think it might have been, Dagan Devine, the manager at that stage. And I went and met him, and he was dead on and told me he wanted me to be his left back next year. And so I was buzzing, obviously, being from Derry itself, like living on the Brandywell. And we agreed a deal, and the next, was it maybe a week after, went down, signed a contract, and I was buzzing, like.
Yeah, when you look at that Derry team, you see a lot of the, there's so many players in it now that have either been in the Irish Premiership or are in it now, like people like Gerard Doherty, Ryan Curran, and Shane McElhenney, who was at Lauren previously. So it's just plenty of people you knew there.
A lot of that team I knew anyway. They were around my age. They were like, it was a young kind of team. And I played with Shane and his brother Fats, and growing up through the youth age kind of groups. And then when I went over, I was just buzzing the bear, to be honest, like playing in front of Brandywell and your family come to games. But I remember the first training session in, so I signed my contract, and the first game was on the Thursday, and this was training on a Monday, and it was a Europa League game, and they had we were away to, what do you call it, that Turkish side, Trabzonspor, the demo away, and I was obviously coming in to play that game. And the very first training session, and done the warm up, I went to tackle by Shane McElhenney, and I stood on his foot, but I rolled my ankle, and I done all my ligaments in my ankle, and I was out for like 6-7 weeks, and I was absolutely fuming, like. And obviously sitting on a Thursday night in the house watching the game and the boys playing, and in front of 40,000, I was absolutely ripping, like. So
yeah, didn't
start well.
Well, I'm sure there's a great buzz around the club at that time, and playing all the European football.
Around that stage, they were every year they were getting to Europe, so they were always like one or two big games a year, and I was just absolute raging watching that game, because I think the boys done well. They were getting bit 2-0. They came back to 2-2, and they just missed out then. I think that team scored 2 late goals. But hearing all the boys come back and saying what an experience it was, and the fans, and they never felt an atmosphere like it. And I'm just sitting there thinking, way to tackle a big scene. Hey, it was an absolute raging, so it was. But then obviously I had to just do my rehab and train my arse off again, and just to try and get back in. But I was just thinking now, because I was out for 6-7 weeks and didn't left back, they had to go and sign an emergency kind of signing. And they went to Dundalk and got lad Owen Osborne. And I don't think he was playing. And he just got 3 straight on the Thursday night. I think he'd trained one day on the Tuesday, and 3 straight on. And the right winger absolute destroyed him. So I was getting a half happy that I didn't have to come up against him and come back, and he was telling me it was the best players ever played against. And I remember the first like 15 seconds he nutmegged him and that, so I was kind of happy, and I didn't have to come up against him.
Of the Europa League games you did get to play for Derry City, are there any highlights of your travels with them? Or
we played a wild side, and to be fair, they weren't that good, like, but we ended up beating them, I think it was like 9-0 in aggregate. But just the day of the match, and obviously Derry brought so many fans over because it was only over in Wales.
Yeah.
That was the best kind of, like, you enjoyed it the most kind of, because the fans were so loud and we were doing so well. I think we won 5-0 away from home, and then won 4-0. At the Brandywell, like, so that was a proper enjoyable kind of match. But then we got some truncheons in, like, remember we played Midtjylland, maybe in 2017, maybe, And I think they bet us, it was about $7 in aggregate too. And the golf in class, you could just tell, like, they were oozing class and players. So they're,
yeah. So, well, Dina, but for playing for Derry at the time, would you have said that was your highlight of your time there, like, constantly looking forward to the European games?
Not really. No, it was a bonus. Like, if you got into Europe, it was mostly the clubs obviously wanted just for financial. They sort them out financially, like, and it's kind of just a bonus. Like, obviously the Irish league clubs don't see themselves as progressing proper in Europe, the group stages and stuff like that. But we just kind of, we were hoping every year we got a big kind of draw. Like, we didn't really want a draw where maybe we could have won. Like, we wanted, like, a massive game, you know, like, away to a Spanish team or a Turkish team and play in front of big crowds. Like, just the experience. And, like, and then if you could put out, you could put out. Like, but it's just kind of bonus. Like, your leagues are bread and butter. Like, and that's what we kind of concentrated on the most, to be fair.
Within the league, who would have been, like, main rivals for Derry City? Is there any matches you relished within the division, or?
The match against Van Herps is obviously the derby, like, but it's obviously, because Derry is so spread out compared to the rest of the league. Obviously, Van Herps is just the closest, like.
Yeah.
But we've had some good matches over the years against Van Herps, and it's always a tough place to go away to Van Herps playing. And it's usually, the pitch is not usually the best, to be fair, and they don't really care. Like, they kind of make it as bad as they can just to get you off your game. But Van Herps is Derry's rival, like, I'd say.
Yeah, but you played quite a bit there at this stage before you move on to Dundalk. Having had that experience of both the League of Ireland and Irish Premiership team, would you have said there's any major differences between the two?
They definitely play more football in the League of Ireland in terms of passing and not playing back to front as often. There's a lot more build up play, and it just seems a bit more calmer, and you get a wee bit more time on the ball. And I think tactically, the teams down south are definitely more tactically more aware, and they do a lot of opposition analysis kind of stuff. Obviously, working out your weaknesses and the team's weaknesses, and trying to take advantage of it. So I'd say that's probably the most, that's the difference, I'd say. But what I would say about the Down South League, the summer football, I prefer far more playing the summer football compared to what we do up here. Just the overall actual, the league itself, playing through the summer, better pitches, you get more fans coming into the games, obviously the Weller and stuff. So that's obviously a big change coming up here and playing through the winter and through Christmas again. Like, it's been 8 years or so since I've last done it. Like,
yeah,
I think that's a debate. We're always kind of having that debate here, aren't we, about summer football and pitches. Like, you see the weekend there was, I think, Dungannon travelled to Warren Point and had to just basically turn around it.
It's mad, the difference. Like, there's teams down south and they're not wealthy teams, like, but all their pitches are like yard pits, like, just because they have that over summer and they're playing the good weather, and if it's the sun's out and helps the pitches grow, and it's a better spectacle, like, for the supporters coming to watch. Like, you don't want to be, well, maybe some of them do, I don't know, but you don't want to go on and watch and two games just, or two teams slog it out in a big mucky pitch and just play terrible football. Like, because to be fair, you see that up here in some of the games, some of the televised games, it's not the best they watch. Like, and see now with the way the league's going at the minute, there's a good chance for us to switch it to summer football, and I'd be all for it. Like, to be fair.
Yeah, there always seems to be that argument that comes about of, well, people think it's a good idea of to switch the Irish Premiership to summer football, but it's good to see that you're everyone was people that's all for it.
Aye, 100%. Look, and it can only help the league as a whole, and obviously the teams in Europe too. They'll be playing their European games mid season, look, and they'll be fit, and might be the difference of getting through maybe one or two extra rounds, and financially that's massive to each club. Talking probably $200,000-$300,000 per round, and it'd be massive for the league. Like they switch it, but I hear obviously the talks about people don't want to switch it because they love the Boxing Day fixtures and the derbies. But there's going to be no difference if you're playing a big derby on the Boxing Day and you're playing a big derby on July. Like it's on the sun. Like it's going to be you're going to get the same amount of people at both. Like so, I don't know about that argument. To be fair.
Yeah, I suppose it's just at that stage, it's just about people's personal preferences.
That's it. Like, but I think it shows you just with the League of Ireland how well they've done over the past 10 years since they made the switch. With the teams getting into the group stages, like with Dundalk getting in twice and Shamrock Rovers getting in, and obviously we're going full time football now at the minute. And if we get into Europe, it would obviously help Lauren and help us get maybe a couple of rounds, and I'm just all for it, to be fair. And I actually hope it does change over the next year or two.
Talking about Dundalk there, so you ended up there in 2018 with Stephen Kenny. Well, you crossed paths at Derry, but now you're under, he's Scott, you know, like.
Hi, obviously, by that stage, two of my good mates have signed already with Dundalk, Patrick Magnoli and Mickey Duffy. And my contact was running out at Derry, and they were kind of putting the feelers out, saying, what's a crack? What are you doing next year? Stephen's looking to get a chat with you. And I was like, happy days, buzzing, because they've been the top team the last 4 or 5 years, won 3 or 4 leagues. And I was like, happy days. So he got me a number, and I went and met him in Buncrana. And a great guy like Stephen. And he told me his plans for next year, and where he see me fitting in, and about the way the club's going, and that the club are getting took over by the new owners, and they really want to push to get on the group stages again, etc. And he gave me the contract, what they're offering me, and I was like, happy days, that's brilliant. So I went and I spent a couple of weeks, had a wee think about it, and obviously because moving down Dundalk, I had a son at the time, so and a partner, so we were deciding what they do, and she kind of pushed me on through it, saying it'd be good for my career. And I took that chance and signed a 2-year with him, and it was brilliant. Obviously,
he's in the news obviously now as the Republic manager, but like, can you give us an insight into Stephen Kenny and your relationship and what is a man and a manager?
I see he's brilliant, my manager. Like getting you up for games, and just the way he speaks with a lot of passion, and when he talks you kind of listen to him, and then he kind of has that fear factor about him at the same time as a manager. You know, you don't want to get on his wrong side, or you don't want to let him down. And but no, he's a brilliant coach, and he knows the game inside out, and I'm not surprised that he's actually got the Ireland job. Obviously how well he's done with Dundalk and the budget and getting on the group stage and all, it's crazy, to be fair. But he's a gentleman as well. Like when you're chatting to him and chatting the outside of football, he's always asking you about your family and how they're getting on. He remembers everything, like, so he's a legend, to be fair, in the Irish league.
Yeah, having played under him, did you always get the feeling that it was like destined to like get a big job such as the Republic?
I don't think he might have got international set up that quickly, but obviously just the way football works, maybe associations don't look the same with managers in the leagues or whatever. They try and get somebody big, like, but I always thought he would go to England or get an R job because he had a spell in Scotland, like, and it didn't work out. But he's one of the most decorated managers in the League of Ireland, so it wasn't a surprise that he got a big job as the Ireland manager, like, but all I've obviously know a couple of players, like Shane Duffy and that, and seeing all their interviews, and they all seem to really like him. So hopefully it does well for the national team now over the next couple of months, and there's plenty of tournaments coming up, like, so.
Yeah. How was the move to Dundalk compared to Derry City? Did you slot in well?
When I went down, I went to pre-season and met all the lads, and they were all sound, good lads, like, and it was kind of hard, just the traveling ways and getting up and down and staying down, and that was kind of hard, and my partner obviously didn't move down and end up, so I was kind of not homesick, like, because it was not too far away, like, I would always drive up, but the traveling was kind of an issue at the start, but then as I got into the pre-season, playing a couple of games, and when the league kicked in, like, I was really buzzing to be here, and it was actually hard to get on the team at the start, because the team was doing so well. I went on, I think it was like 9 unbeaten at the start, and I didn't play at all for the first 9 games, because the team was just winning, and that's the way Stephen kind of works. He's kind of, he wouldn't change the team if it's doing well, or he's kind of superstitious in that kind of way.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got on, I took my chance and made a couple of appearances. I was loving life down there.
Yeah, would you say that the expectation there at Dundalk was significantly higher than what was out of Derry, just as the fact that they were, you know, one of the best teams in the League of Ireland?
That's 100%. Like, what I would say, the standard of training and the standard of players down there was far better when the team we had at Derry. Like, they were just so professional, and the way they looked after themselves off the pitch and every day in training was like a war zone. They're everybody giving their all, and it was just, you didn't want to get left behind, kinda. So you had to just muck on and work your socks off, like. But it was kind of like, I would say the way Celtic play in the Scottish Premier League, like, you have to win. At that stage, we Dundalk really won 3 in a row, and the fans were just, they have to win next game, and if you lost the game, it was like, what the hell's going on here? It's crazy, like. The demands were definitely far more than they were at Derry.
Yeah, it's that thing, like, Celtic, you could win like 10 matches in a row, but then if you lose one, then it's a story all of a sudden.
I remember it was actually the first game. We drew with Bray in the first game, and then we won the next 8. But after that first draw, the first game of season, there was carnies, like, we can't believe we drew, blah, 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 and all the fans were getting on social media and came and hammering the players, saying it's not good enough, and I was like, dear God, like, but I suppose that comes with the territory, like, when you're playing with the best team in the country.
Yeah. Do you feel that pressure as a player to, you know, meet that expectation of the fans, of just, you know, you just have to constantly win?
I don't go out and play football just the way I play any match. Like, it wouldn't matter if it's a final or semi or playing Europe or playing a pre-season. Like, it doesn't affect me that much. I like when the fans are loud, and I don't mind when they're on your case a bit. It puts a spring in your step. Like, but as a team, that team was full of experience and a lot of older heads on it, so it didn't really affect the boys. The boys knew what they needed to do to win, and it would come good in the end.
And you won the FAI Cup there, didn't you, against Derry City in the final?
No, it was the first year we won the league, obviously, first year. We won the FAI Cup. It was against Cork. It was Cork away. We won 2-1. That was an unbelievable day. Playing Naviva, came on the last 10 minutes or so. If came on centre mid, they kind of sure up a game. And when the final whistle went, it was unbelievable. Like, there was a packed Naviva. I think there were 30,000 there. And just the celebrations after it, it was class. And because all three that year, it was between ourselves and Cork going for the league, and the past 5 years, it was, or the past 4 years, it was us and Cork as well. Like, and they're going head to head, and they just wouldn't, they wouldn't go away that year. And we ended up obviously won the league, and it was amazing, like first league title, and just through the sacrifices you do throughout the year and the amount of training and looking after yourself, it was amazing. Like,
they're going through a bit of change at the minute now. There's like players like Gary Rogers, Dean Massey, they're all leaving, so it's kind of like a change into the guard. You would have all, obviously, would they have been role models, those sort of players?
Aye, like they would have been all kind of the older heads that were there through, you know, that came in 2014, like, because Dundalk were, Dundalk only stayed up, I think, with a skin of their teeth in 2012 or 13, and then they were in the playoffs, like they stay up, and they won. And then Stephen came in the next year and he got the team together, and that team ended up over the next 4 years, won everything, and they were kind of experienced ones with Gary Rogers and Gertland and Dane and Shieldsey and that, and Stephen O'Donnell. And obviously now the way they're obviously getting older or whatever, and the new boss is coming in and it's changing up a bit, like, but we're just getting an end of an era there. Last couple of months, like, with the amount of people leaving, so
yeah, and then if you look at after Dundalk coming to Larne, it was in the January transfer window you came to Larne. So how was it eventually that you ended up moving up?
Tiernan actually got in contact with me at the end of my Derry contract run now, and I actually just signed with Dundalk. And Tiernan rang me on the way down. I was driving down the road, and he was like, he wanted to get me in or whatever. And I couldn't tell him that I've already signed. Like, I was like, I'm driving down to the lock here, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, wait there, turn around, don't be driving down yet. And he was trying to get me, he thought I was going down to sign. He's like, no, wait there, I'm going to ring Kelly or whatever. And I'm going to give him the ringy and get a wee chat and blah, 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 don't be going down. And I said, no, here, I've signed already, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, it's the nightmare, son, blah, 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 and hope you do well. And I'll give you a little shout when your contract runs out or whatever, I'll be keeping in contact. So that's how that kind of started. But near the end of Dundalk, the second year, I was kind of wanting to come back home at that stage. At 2 years away, it was a lot. And my girlfriend was pregnant at that time as well. We just had another wee kid. So I wanted to come up closer to home. And Tiernan got in contact with me a couple of months after my contract run out. Told me his plans and what he expected of me if I signed, and how the club were going, and just the whole direction of the club. And I was buzzing to end up signing. That's how I kind of started. That's how that kind of happened in January then.
Yeah, you were one of the players bought in that January. It was probably one of the more busy January periods the club have had in recent years.
It was myself and I think it was Mitch and John Heron.
Yeah.
We signed around that kind of time. Team was doing well in the league. Like, obviously the first year in the league, and we ended up going on some of class run then from January. It was good to be a part of. Coming up that kind of break when the coronavirus happened and we were raging, that obviously it stopped our run. But just the way the club was run at that time, and the training was so good, and like the full time aspect, that's kind of, I was buzzing just to be here. And like the coaching and the gym and Wee Mick and that, it was kind of like Dundalk. Like, it wasn't like a step down in terms of professionalism and stuff like that. Like, so I was buzzing to be there.
Yeah, it felt around that time there was a real momentum among the fans. All that Ron beating Linfield and Glentoran, is just such a shame that it came to an end.
Them two games they were brilliant. That week was a kind of standout in my first couple of months. Obviously that we had the fans on, and I was hearing the boys were telling me stories, and people at the club were like, they haven't beat Linfield and Glentoran or whatever in so many years, and they go out and did the both of them in the 1 week. It was amazing. And I kind of set the tone then. We were like, right, we know we can beat Deans. We're just as good as them, if not better. And I felt to just give the lads a bit more belief going into the rest of the games. And even taking on this season, you can tell there's far more belief in the team and working out each week, knowing that we can win.
Yeah. We came into the Lawrence squad. We're looking at the players in the Lawrence squad. Would you say it's as like a higher quality as any as other clubs you've been to? Because you know the Irish Premiership, but like the players are all fairly experienced within the squad.
Like our squad, when you look at the age of our squad now, you look and you'd be like, that's an experienced team. I remember seeing somebody just start up last month saying our average age in one of the games was like 29 or something. It was crazy. Like, and obviously the way we play is we get the ball down the pass and it's shit at me looking around. Like, is obviously the first time I played in the Irish Prem. And I had a few experiences playing against teams when I was at Stuart in the Irish Prem, and they didn't play no football at all. It was just complete hoofball. So that was kind of, it was daunting me when I was signing. I was like, is this the way we're going to play, or is this going to be every week? But playing on our pitch on the Astro Turf, it's just the ground, and all the boys on our team are technically very good, and they all look after themselves. So, but it's not much changed like from when I was at Dundalk. Like the way we play and how we try and do it professionally around the club.
So I'm sure with you, Dean, it was a big factor, you know, coming to Lorne with the way we play our football, because I know you said there yourself, you're kind of used to the Irish Premiership being more or less hoofball.
That was one of the main factors. Like, to be honest, I wouldn't have went and signed for anybody else or anybody that doesn't really try and play a bit of football. Just takes enjoyment out of the game, and it's not for me. Like, but the way Tiernan and Shumas and coaching staff set up, and they want to play the right way, and they want to win the right way, and like actually be successful playing good football and entertaining the fans. And that was just a major draw to sign here. Obviously, being up closer to home, I could have came maybe back to Derry, but just thought, spent 5 years at Derry already. I wanted a new challenge, and the way the club was going and the direction the club was going, just with the whole at the stadium getting done up and how they're wanting to progress and get into Europe and win things and just become a real top side in the Irish League. I was like, I want about that.
I think even the start of this season showed it a bit. They're considered as title contenders in a way. It wasn't as if Lorne were overperforming. I think this is more like what they should be doing now.
That's it. Obviously, when you look, if you're looking at Lorne as just a name, you're thinking, right, they haven't won anything. They haven't won a title, a Premier League title or anything. But us as players on that change room, like there's probably about 16, 17 league winners medals, like, and there that people have won individually. And we said at the start of this year, we need to be up challenging and come the end of the season and really try and push on and won stuff this year, because undoubtedly we're definitely good enough and we have the experience as well on the team. So that was kind of refreshing at the start to hear that this year, that our plan was to actually go and push and try and win as much as we can. Like,
and I suppose you've had the experience of winning the County Antrim Shield this year as well.
That's obviously going to just put us in good stead. The boys, obviously I was out injured, I missed that game, but the boys that played and came on, they were excellent that day, and the buzz about that night of winning it, and we said to ourselves, like, we could have this year times 10, like, to be honest. Come the end of the season, if we keep going, doing our business right, and keep working hard, like, because, to be fair, since I've came here, the professionalism from the boys has been unbelievable. with gym work and looking after themselves and doing extra work and just trying to get every last percent out of their bodies, like, and playing in this league against a lot of part-time teams, that could be the difference at the end of the season, like.
Yeah, and like Mark said about the Carnam Shield, there's also been some very good results that, you know, we've had since the start of the season, you know, the 3-1 against Linfield and just the run we went on. I suppose for you as a player, that gives you and the lads a bit of confidence going into the season when it comes back after this break.
Some of the results have been brilliant. Apart from maybe the Warren Point one away, it was disappointing. And then obviously a bit by Balmain, it was disappointing there as well. But on the whole, we've it's been an unbelievable start to the season, but we're only halfway, and the boys know themselves. There's too much experience in that team to rest on our laurels and think we've done it or we're halfway there, blah, blah, blah. But there's a long way to go still. And the way, obviously, this coronavirus is happening, it might only be a 22-game league. So it could end up just being a sprint now after this two-week lockdown. And hopefully we can hit the ground running and pick up as many points as possible.
Yeah, like you said there about the implications of this coronavirus, I'm sure you as a player, you've never in a million years would have thought COVID football would have been a thing, or you would have had to deal with something like this in your lifetime.
No, it's absolutely mad. It kind of seems normal now because it's happened like the past year. It's kind of like normal, but if you had said to me last year that we'd be all in these lockdowns and all these restrictions and getting tested, I would have laughed at you. I'd be like, what are you on about? But it's just what you're going to be. You just have to deal with it. Like, it's good that the football's continuing. Obviously, it gives everybody, the supporters and football fans out there, a bit of morale boost. Obviously, when they're getting locked in for 6-7 weeks at a time and they can't get out and doing much. And so hopefully our league gets, they continue and we can keep entertaining the fans.
It's been good we've been able to provide the streams for the fans when they can't get into the stadium, so at least it's still connecting them to the team.
Aye, that's it, because obviously the supporters want to watch us each week, and obviously we're doing so well, like, so they'd be raging that they're not on the ground supporting us, and because it's like a wee day out, like, when you're a supporter and you go to the bar or whatever and just get out, mingle with your friends, obviously, and we can't do that now, so the stream's up and running at the minute, and we've been wanting to play their games, so hopefully that keeps continuing and the stream keeps showing the matches, like, so
yeah, hopefully we're able to pick up where we left off before that 2-week break. Just before we finish up here, Dean, I've got some fan questions that have been sent in specifically for you. So the first one that has been sent in is, who's the best player you've played with?
It's a hard question. Like, it's between two of my good mates here, Mickey Duffy and Patrick McElhinney, I'd say, at Dundalk. So I'm not picking mine or I'll get in trouble. It's a draw.
Who's the best player you've played against?
We played against Mitchelland with Derry in the Europa League, and I can't even remember the name of the right winger, but he tore me to shreds that game, and I was like, it's crazy how good you are. Like, so I'd say that right winger that day, but I can't even remember his name. I wouldn't be able to pronounce it anyways.
There's one there about why did you leave Dundalk for long, but I think we've covered that. The fourth one is, what's it like playing for long?
I wasn't playing with Lauren. There's a proper feel-good factor around the town, and the team, we're doing so well at the minute, and it can only get better. Like, it's definitely exciting times to be a Lauren supporter, and with the stadium getting new stands and that, and buzzing just to be here. It's a privilege to play for a club, and obviously Kenny is top chairman or top owner, like, proper, gets involved with the players, and that's when I signed at the club. I was like, I was took back by it, because I've never spoke to Dundalk owner, I've never spoke to Derry owner, and he's ringing me and get me to sign, and you know, all that kind of stuff, proper involved, and asking about the family and stuff like that. So that was amazing. So just buzzing to be here, and hopefully we can win a couple of honours this year and push us on.
Yeah. The fifth one is, what is the best moment of your career?
The best I'd say would be one of the leagues at Dundalk. The first league was amazing, and it wasn't just Axel one lifting the trophy, it was like the after, you know, the celebrations, and I think we went on a five day bender in Dublin after. It was absolutely amazing. There was about 8 or 9 of the boys, and we ended up, I come back to Dundalk then on like the fifth day, the wrecks we were, and there was a night at the races on in Dundalk, horse race course, and there was only 4 of us left, me, Pat Hogan, Mickey Duffy, and Patrick McGlinney. We went there, and they were like, oh, come on, blah, blah, blah. They obviously knew we just won the FA Cup a couple of days before it, and there was, it's like a big massive party on. We didn't know that was happening there, and so we were on, and they wanted us to present this wrist, like a trophy to the horse, and the jockey just won, and like, we were like, oh no, we're not going down here, are we? Because it was on the actual Sky Sports at the races, and we went downstairs, and all 4 of us were still half cut, like, and we were getting photos with this jockey on Sky Sports, and while Mickey Duffy was trying to feed the horse a drink of his pint, and all, it was just amazing, the celebrations after. So that's kind of the highlight of my kind of career, the actual celebrations after one and stuff, like.
And the last question here is one actually I'm going to throw in. I think we've asked it to all of our guests so far. So picture this, Dean, right? You're stranded on a desert island, right? You only bring 3 of your teammates with you. Who are you bringing? And they can only be the teammates of, like, Lauren at the minute.
I would bring me Marty down, like, because he's an absolute legend, and he's funny as hell. Like.
So Marty, the Joker, we've got 2 other slots to bring.
Oh, I thought you said just the one.
Oh no,
Marty the Joker, and then who else we bring? 58. Somebody had probably a big horse. It's a good big legs on him, and who else? Big Josh Robinson's a good laugh too. Take him.
Yeah, that's not a bad 3, to be fair.
I think everyone's brought Marty Donnelly so far. I think
he's a comedian. Like,
I think Spencer said Watson as well. Like, make him into a boat or something. Like that.
Even a boat.
A boat would sink.
Class. Thanks for coming on, Dean.
That's no bother. That's.
Thank you for listening. Another great episode from Dean. So make sure to keep track of Lauren on all your social media channels. Lauren Football Club on Facebook, at Lauren FC on Twitter, and Lauren Football Club on Instagram. Thank you for listening.